Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Seth Payne is with us right now, one half of Payne and Pendergast. And before we get into so much of the news that's happening around the defensive line, because we had to bring you in our own former NFL defensive lineman, former Jag, former Texan, Seth Payne. Tomorrow, you know, we're talking with J.J. Watt, and we just had a conversation of what we think J.J. Watt's song, what song comes to his mind and makes him think back to his college years? What song puts him right back in Madison, Wisconsin? I have a vote. It's closer to the Stanky Leg, and Clint has a vote that it's closer to Eric Church.
Eric Church. What the hell's Eric Church?
Damn you, Seth Payne. That's painful.
I'm looking at I'm telling you exactly what makes him think of college is the number one song of 2010, TikTok by Kesha.
TikTok. I'm really going to be disappointed. I am really going to be disappointed,
Seth. TikTok by Kesha.
Make it stop. Or the number two song, Need You to Know, by the group formerly known as Lady Antebellum. But they changed their name, so yeah. Boy, what a weak ass year in songs. I'm gonna read Kesha, Lady Antebellum, Train, like everybody's favorite fake hard rock band, Katy Perry, oh, featuring Snoop Dogg, was California Girls, and then OMG by Usher. It's whatever happened to rock and roll, man? Why did you leave me?
Katy Perry was hot though.
Yeah, she still is.
Except
now she's she's. I think she's got a book or something.
Maybe,
so, you know,
maybe he was
buy her book.
Maybe he's really into Drake. Drake just finally bursted onto the scene then. Maybe. Probably not. Seth Payne with this. No, so the Texans did make a signing, getting a former second-round pick of the Oakland Raiders, P.J. Hall. And I know you have watched some film on him. I'm going to tell you, reading everything about him, I'm not that excited when you see a guy that's a former second-round pick in just 2018, and the Raiders have been looking to get rid of him. And when they did, they couldn't get rid of him because he failed the physical. And he showed up overweight. John Gruden, his former head coach, said with the Raiders, not a lot of positives coming my way. What did you think when you saw the film of P.J. Hall?
You know what, Show? I'm really glad that you said that about John Gruden making comments about his weight, because I didn't really want to read too much about P.J. Hall before I watched him. I had liked him when I watched him play at Sam Houston. I saw him play in the Battle of the Piney Woods here a few times, and he was awesome in college. But when I watched him this afternoon, and I watched him play versus the Texans, because I just looked up his PFF, his Pro Football Focus grades by game, and figured, okay, where was a pretty good game? Lo and behold, he graded out best versus the Houston Texans. So I went and watched the Texans game. My first thought of him was, man, this kid is strong. He plays with natural leverage because he's 6 foot tall, and that helps defensive tackles sometimes because they can get up underneath offensive linemen really easily. But I think his ideal playing weight, as I was watching him play the Texans last year, might be a little bit lower than whatever he was, because the kid's explosive as hell. He ran a sub 4.8 40 last year on his pro day, but he doesn't have that wiggle that you want to see out of a guy who's a dynamic player. So there were times where he was lined up as a tilt nose guard over Nick Martin and had some really, really good snaps in the run game. But in the pass game, he's got a bull rush, which he uses to set up his bull rush. And that's about it right now. he's got to work on that. And I think if he lost some weight, he's not fat. I just, because show, you know, sometimes guys are sometimes, Clint, you know what I'm saying here. He's not fat by like defensive lineman standards. Like obviously all of us defensive linemen that aren't J.J. Watt and are a little bit chunky by conventional standards. He's not fat for a defensive tackle, but I think that he could get by and exhibit more of his athleticism by losing a little bit of weight, and maybe that's what the Texans have in store for him.
So what is it about, you know, I look at John Gruden, like I guess I kind of consider the source, so to speak, is I look at Gruden and Mayock both as Gruden's a guy that's got, he's got a 10-year contract, so if, and his coaching style is one of those where, man, he's hard on players, man. And it's not hard to think and to understand where some players may go out there. Gerrion Conley didn't fit in well. Obviously, AB, he's not fitting anywhere. But then this P.J. Hall kid doesn't fit in. Is it fair to say that just with Gruden's style, with the fact that he can afford to cut bait on a second-round draft pick because he's got a 10-year contract, all things considered about Gruden, is it a stretch to think that maybe it's just – there's certain guys that aren't a good fit. It's not that the guy can't be productive. It's not that the guy necessarily did something wrong or can't play, as in it's likely it just wasn't a good fit.
Yeah, and you always wonder, too, okay, between Mike Mayock coming in and having his guys and the guys that you know, he wants around where P.J. Hall was drafted in 2018, right? This is his third year coming up. That they There's sometimes this sizeism. There's guys that want their defensive lineman to look a certain way, and they want him to be 6'4", 6'5", 320 pounds. And P.J. Hall's not that guy. He's 6 foot and 1/2 inch. And I think it would probably fall more along those lines. I also think, too, and I don't want to fixate too much on this size like it's a negative, because he is a very, very explosive kid, and he's very strong. He does some really good things in the run game. But he's 6 foot tall. And I don't know if it's in his future to be a two-gapping run plugger that soaks up double teams and does all those things. And maybe they just couldn't quite figure out where they wanted him to fit in that defense. I think this, and I'm with you, Show, I'm not overly excited about it. This is what it is. You know, it's picking a guy up who had failed a physical and is maybe on the fringe of either making it in the NFL or not making it in the NFL. So I look at the upside. And if I'm going to get excited, it's that he's on a team now where they've got plenty of run stuffers. You know, they got Brandon Dunn. They've got Angelo Blackson. They've got guys that can soak up blocks. If he wants to get some playing time, it might be, hey, get a little svelter, look a little bit more like John Randall than Jerry Ball, and start showing off some of that explosiveness and athleticism, and maybe he can carve himself out a niche here.
See, that's what I was wondering. Seth Payne with us, one half of Payne and Pendergast. That's what I was wondering. Is he in the mode of DJ Reed, or is he in the mode more of what it seems like they've been going to, which is Ross Blacklock? Then they also brought in Tim Jernigan. That was more of a, as Clint would say, faster twitch guy.
Yeah.
So he's more in that vein than the big three. Because when you said he's a bull rush to set up his bull rush, no rips or swims, nothing like that. That sounds like a run stuffer.
Right, and is, except that you can see that there's more there. You know, he's got to develop a repertoire of pass rush moves. And also, I think just by perhaps, you know, and maybe in working with the strength and conditioning staff, maybe there's some things they can unlock in him. There's potential energy there. There's pent-up athleticism that's just, like, screaming to try to escape somehow, and they just got to figure out a way to get it out of him. But he's listed as 305, 306. I'd guess he was heavier than that when they faced the Texans last year. And again, he did some really good things against the Texans in the run game. Yeah, I think Ross Blacklock is a different – he's cut from a different cloth than a lot of the defensive linemen that had been on the Texans for a long time. I really used to wonder, Show – like, I felt like they were trying to build this defense to be really good in 1995, you know, which would have been great in 1995, but it just needed more athleticism. It needed more quick twitch. Ross Blacklock was a step in that direction. Tim Jernigan was a step in that direction if they had been able to consummate the deal. And I think this, not that they're planning on P.J. Hall being a linchpin of the defense or anything, but you're going to start to see more guys like this roll in, I think.
Seth, we did a segment earlier. We discussed a little bit about the Cowboys and what they're doing. They just signed Everson Griffin for less than $6 million, by the way. And we took a look at what they have done this offseason, and it really, to me, it's one of those things where I hoped that the Texans would do this. I don't know if you've had time to look at it, but they signed Everson Griffin. Yep. Alden Smith obviously hadn't played since 2015, but the ceiling could possibly still be there. Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They signed, leave Clinton Dix out of the mix, the defensive front that they were able, the guys that they were able to bring in, plug in, ESPN's already got three of the four listed as a damn starter in their defensive front. They built around Lawrence at the defensive end position. That is what I was hoping the Texans would do, man. Should we compare those two, or do you think the Texans are going to be okay and not having gone that route this offseason?
Well, I think when you just rattle off those names, it feels like a whole lot more of what you've also had with the Cowboys over the last few years. For one, Alden Smith, I don't know what the odds are on him making it 16 games through the season, but he hasn't played in forever. But some of those guys are either maybe a little bit over the hill. I think Gerald McCoy's got a lot more football in him. But they're proven guys that you're getting at a discount for a reason. I think that with the Texans, they kind of ran their experiment on the back end. They've signed all these guys who are former first-round picks, and the names aren't as glamorous, but because of that, you get them in an even better deal. But and not like you're getting Bradley Roby on a huge bargain or anything, but Gerrion Conley has that athleticism, and they tried it with Vernon Hargraves. I'm not optimistic that's going to work out anywhere for Vernon Hargraves, but they've got athleticism back there, and they're trying to figure out some way to ramp up the overall speed of the roster. So I'm okay with it. Look, they've got to sign Deshaun Watson. The Cowboys signed all those guys, and Dak Prescott has not been signed to a long-term contract. So in terms of being aggressive in free agency or signing a guy like Everson Griffin, I would have loved to see Everson Griffin here, God, but I think it's just a little too much of a luxury right now.
How do you feel about the in-the-box guys right now, Seth, particularly the D-line and the pass rush? Do you feel like the Texans have done enough to not have the same problems in 2020 that they had in 2019 in key moments?
I think a lot of it's going to be on Anthony Weaver, and I'm pretty optimistic that just by scheme alone, Anthony's going to create and generate more pass rush. That's kind of the way Anthony Weaver was raised, and I just remember from having conversations with him about Rex Ryan and the way he ran the Ravens defense when Weaver was playing for the Ravens, you know, that philosophy of figuring out ways to get guys free with blitzes, figuring out a way to pressure with zone blitzes where you don't necessarily have to take as many risks. There is a real skill and an art to that. And some guys have an appetite for it, some guys don't. Romeo Crennel was okay blitzing last year. You know, they blitzed a lot more as they needed to because they weren't getting pass rush. But that's not necessarily Romeo Crennel's gig, you know. And it's not good or bad. It's just some guys run their defense a certain way and some guys run it another way. Weaver's a guy that I think I'm predicting will scheme a lot more. And you'll see the way with the Ravens last year. And Matthew Judon had a really good year rushing the passer. And a lot of that was scheme. I like Matthew Judon as a player, but he had a lot of opportunities that were created for him by the scheme. And I think you're going to see that, whether it's getting J.J. Watt open or, you know, I think more critically, I think getting Whitney Mercilus open, getting guys like Jacob Martin open, those guys coming free on rushes, you're going to see more of that this year.
For the Texans, Seth, I hope that happens, but, man, maybe it's just the person that's never played before in me, but I'm looking. You got $21 million under the cap. I just watched the Chiefs with $275 left under the cap, signed Travis Kelce to a four-year deal and $57 million. And it's like, to me, man, if you're going to try to get to the next level and get to the AFC Championship game, a guy like Everson Griffin for $6 million seemed like such a perfect fit to help to be right there on the other side to get more pressure on the quarterback. If they just sit back with $21 million under the cap, that would be disappointing to me.
I'll tell you one thing. Well, for one, the Chiefs now are sitting with only $14 million in cap space for 2021. So it's not like the Chiefs. And I guess that's a big question, guys. if Travis Kelce were on the Texans, would Bill O'Brien actually re-sign Travis Kelce, or would he trade him for a second-round pick and David Johnson? I guess that's the big question that you'll never have the answer to, because that's what they did. I mean, the Chiefs signed Travis Kelce, and the Texans traded away DeAndre Hopkins, and that's where the big experiment with Bill O'Brien's going to come as a general manager. Everson Griffin, like, I don't want to get too tied up in saying, well, he fits this scheme or he doesn't fit this scheme. Weaver would have figured out a way to use Everson Griffin, but it's not necessarily a perfect scheme fit. Okay. It's not necessarily what you would draw out on paper. He would have figured out, but that's why I looked at it as a little bit of a luxury signing. I'm with you, man. I'm not going to sit here and defend Bill O'Brien, the general manager. I'm kind of looking at where we are right now and what you can do with this roster. But as far as the overall roster management, yeah, I've got my serious doubts.
Seth, we got J.J. Watt at some point tomorrow on our show. We get to spend 10 or 15 minutes with him, man. And what questions would you have? You got a couple of top questions that you'd have for J.J. Watt that you just have to have answered?
I've been honestly thinking about this on and off for a few hours now, and I'm having a hard time. I try to game plan it because J.J. is really, really good at – you can't catch him with a tough question. You know, like he reverts to cliche mode exactly when he needs to go to cliche mode. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to ask him that's not necessarily a softball question, but has more something to do with the fact that he's entering the twilight of his career. And there's certain things you learn as you get to JJ's age where the game just slows down. As a defensive lineman, I think, I guess any position in football, when you start to get to the age of 30, it's amazing how many things you just start knowing before the snap. Like, you know what play is coming. You know what an offensive lineman is going to try to do to you. You know exactly what's going to happen. And then within the play, it, like, turns into the Matrix. Like, you feel it coming. But at the same time, that's exactly when your body starts breaking down. You know, and it ends up being just the most frustrating feeling in the world that you've got the answers to the test, but your body can't do it. So I think really, you know what I might ask him is, like, is he feeling a sense of desperation now? And whether it's desperation or, man, this really might be it. You always say carpe diem and, you know, I'm going to make every game count and I'm going to play like it's my last one. But I wonder if that's really starting to sink in for him.
Seth Payne with us. Appreciate you joining us with all this D-line news. We had to go to you. Remember, you can catch him every weekday morning at 6 a.m., Payne and Pendergast. Thanks a lot for joining us, Seth.
Thanks a lot. Now, I'm depressed about Bill O'Brien, the general manager, again, though. So thank you, show. Thanks. I talked myself into something, but thanks for that. Right. I'm gonna go drink heavily until 6 a.m.
All right, I'm going to right now as well. I'm just kidding. All right, that's Seth.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.